Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, I'm your host, Ronald Buffet. And as we always say to our listening audience, you are listening to us over the World Wide Web, over Blog Talk Radio. We are streaming via Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and all forms of social media. But you know, if you join on us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show: if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, serves as an economic blueprint for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar installation, design, EV charge, EV manufacturing, workforce development, and other African-American renewable energy companies in the energy sector to address the effects of high energy costs at our historic Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmland and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and underemployment of young African and African-American men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs, such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLFHBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And you get more information on that initiative by logging on to the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, going over to our GoFundMe link, and you'll be able to get that information. But last but not least, this show is brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar. And NAFS has been at the forefront of getting a lot of things done because we are a nonprofit public policy organization. And we have, without question, over the 5 years that I have been producing this, having the privilege of producing the show, probably the most exciting format that we have programmed for this show. This show is breaking ground and history as we are in African History Month, as the National Association of Blacks in Solar has successfully built a national team to and applied for EDA funding under the Good Jobs Opportunity. And before I bring on our first scheduled guest, which will be Dr. Biz Bras, I want to sort of set the our listening audience out there. The Solar Sustainability Across America Project, the Solar Sustainability Project Across America, is a collaborative effort of sectorial partnerships consisting of Tougaloo College, Global Apprenticeship Foundation, Power 52 Foundation, and the National Association of Blacks in Solar, NABS. Our consortium works to enhance and promote educational training awareness to disadvantaged citizens of all ages and backgrounds. The SSA has support from industry, employer partners, and other nonprofit organizations, faith-based organizations, governmental officials and educational institutions, and political figures. The SSA will provide training and job placement for 750 new solar installers and professionals in Maryland, Washington, D.C., Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Mississippi. Our program training model provides 8 weeks of pre-apprenticeship training accredited with the National Center for Construction Education and Research, which includes 1 week of solar training boot camp followed by a 2-year Department of Labor installer apprenticeship. Apprentices receive 4,000 hours of job training and 320 clock hours of classroom instruction. Our credit curriculums not only provides technical solar training and behavioral competency training, but will also be articulated to college credits at Tougaloo College and Pittsburgh Technical College for graduates seeking to pursue a college degree. Our highly regarded training model prepares apprentices for the industry, is recognized by the NAPSET credentials and certifications. Wraparound services and mentorships will be provided to mitigate the barriers as well as increase employment retention rates for our graduates. As a part of the wraparound services model, apprentices will also receive industry-required tools and materials. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the privilege of having Dr. Biswas from Tougaloo College on our live line today as we are talking about a historic partnership that was put together in a short period of time, which was announced on the airways back on December the 7th in an online YouTube video that's still there that you can see how the National Association Blacks in Solar has worked to network with these companies and nonprofits to make this a reality. And without further ado, welcome Dr. Biswas to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Thank you, Mr. Ronald Bethea. I really appreciate this opportunity, and I would say this is a great opportunity for HBCUs and in particular our African American students across the nation. I came to know about NAPS very recently, and I'm really excited to know how NAPS is helping these African-American students to find better job opportunities. And this grant, which NAPS helped to create the consortium to apply for this grant, was an excellent opportunity for all of us. And we all know now, or if you don't know, we successfully applied an EDA grant of $18 million. And if we get that grant money, it will help train and secure a good job. So congratulations to everybody who are part of this grant application process. And I'm hoping that we'll be successful and we'll make a breakthrough in solar energy jobs in this nation. And Mr. Bethea, do you have any particular question about Tougaloo or the process or how would you like me to kind of have this discussion?
Yeah. Well, Dr. Biswas, I have one very important question. How did you get your president to go along with this in such a short period of time? Because I understand that when you become the lead judiciary in a process where you are responsible for reporting back not only the activities of a large grant of this sort, but you have to manage the activities of those sub-awardees and those independent contractors that you will be and stakeholders that will that are involved in that will be directly up under Tougaloo's authority and oversight through an MOU process. So with that being said, it is very, very, very difficult sometimes to get our presidents to step out on faith. And I want to thank you, and I want to thank the president of Tougaloo University for having enough of faith in the National Association of Blacks in Solar and our vice president, Mr. Will Shirley. And I'd like for him to sort of step to the mic because we want to he's going to be playing a very intricate role with that. But before I bring him on, I want to bring on one of Tougaloo's finest, Mr. Mike Dozier, who is a professional grant writer, and he's one of the top African-American grant writers in the nation, and he has been received certain recent national publications about his company, and he is a Tougaloo alumnus. So with that being said, Mr. Dozier, I asked him to come and share with our listening audience how this scoring system or this point system and the things that you have to understand about grants to make a successful application. And I think that we hit all of those things, and Mr. Dozier can sort of share with that. But first, I want to get you to respond to my first question, Dr. Biswas. How did you get the president of Tougaloo to go along with this?
Number one, our president is very, very dynamic, and she is out there to help Tougaloo, and not only Tougaloo, help African-American students across the nation the way she can. So she, and our provost, also the same, he attended a meeting of our group, and both our provost and president are very, very eager to see success in training our African-American students. You know, the Tougaloo's motto is to educate our community. So, and with this, and I am in Tougaloo for 14 years, and I had the privilege to serve in various ranks. I'm on the chair of the Faculty Senate, and also I acted as an interim provost and vice president of the college. So I had the privilege to know our president and also had the privilege to work with her. So I understand that she has full trust on my judgment. And when I approached her about this opportunity, she said, okay, I will provide you the letter that you need. So, and that's the background. So even then, I would say both our provost and president are very dynamic, and then they are trying their best to help the students. And even then, it needs to go out of bounds, like agreeing to this kind of proposal within a short notice. So they are out there. So I'm really thankful to them for kind of agreeing to this and then giving us a support letter with a very short notice, maybe over 48 hours. So we asked her for a letter 2 days before, and she said, okay,
Yes, sir. I want our listening audience to understand the dynamics of leadership there at Tougaloo. And I want to bring on Mr. Michael Dozier right now. Mr. Dozier, if you would come on and introduce yourself, give our listening audience a little of your background, a little about your company. And I want to thank you for taking on this judiciary responsibility of overseeing this grant, proposal of writing an aspect in short turnaround time. And there's always good, bad, and as the little boy saying, the ugly in the process, but we all learn as we go. So with that being said, welcome to the airways, Mr. Michael Dozier.
Thank you, Mr. Ron. I truly appreciate it and being a part of this podcast this afternoon. Thank you all for giving me the opportunity to participate today. This process took some time to go through it, but one of the things I can say about the overall process, even before I talk about the process, I guess I need to tell you my background. I'm a nonprofit, former nonprofit CEO, and now I have my own company that provides assistance to nonprofit organizations or for business who wants to do startup. And so I help in the matter of 501c3s. I help with fund development, board infrastructure, getting your board right before you're ready to receive grants, fundraising, fund development, making sure you're in compliance, making sure you got the proper policies and procedures set up. I do all that with my company called Carrington, Holland, and Lee. And it's named after three out of my four children. And so basically we provide inclusive services to nonprofit clients as well as business clients who are in need of assistance. Now, getting to this project, of course, the key is always going to be when you apply for funding, especially on a federal level, you want to be able to make sure that you get the highest score. Typically, the highest score is typically 100 when you're being evaluated. Now, I have served as a peer reviewer many times for the federal government, which means that I get a chance almost every year to critique applications for them and how the process works. They usually bring in a bunch of experts from around the country who have some experience in grants, understand how they run and different things like that. And then what they do is they pair them up in usually two or three per group, and they critique applications and evaluate them. And so basically, the only thing I want to emphasize is that you have to get the highest possible score. Now, also, that's not the only consider. Even though you're getting the highest score and you want to rank as high as you can, there's also geographical consideration. They may want to consider a project in the southeast or maybe the southwest or maybe the northern part of the U.S. So there's some other factors that you have to consider when they're deciding who they're going to give funding to. But the most important thing is to show a compelling need for your proposal, as well as make sure that you always answer every question that they answer, and you try to make it easy on any application that you're applying for, that a peer reviewer, whoever's going to critique that proposal, can find what they're looking for without them looking for it. You guide them along the way. You're telling a story, and as you tell that story, you want it compelling enough where it sort of bring tears to the person's eye, but you also want it to be able to, once it shows the importance of it, it shows us a solution. We can make a difference.
Well, Mr. Dozier, with all that being said, I mean, I'm listening and learning while I'm listening, but did we talk about the need in the African-American community across this country? Because there is a dire need when we look at all statistical data put out by the Solar Foundation, which takes our tax dollar to keep track on who's hired and who's fired in the solar industry. When we begin to look at the African-American community, how we rank, we're at the very, very bottom of every parameter based on population and sector and need and market demographics, but when we get to talking about the disparities on the disparity side, but when we get to scoring in looking at environmental injustices that disproportionately hit and affect our communities, from health, from the asthma issues, where I lost my niece at her graduation party just dancing because she suffered from asthma, had a heart attack, and left us. And she was a graduating senior from Bowie State University School of Journalism 2 years ago. These are realities in our community, so it's not statistical data. As you already know, Mr. Dozier, but when we begin to look at those disparities in environmental injustice, our community gets 85 to 90% of that. But when it comes to the actual awards of these opportunities, I think that maybe this group might have been the only African-American group that came together to even file an application for any funding. That is why, to me, getting and putting together a united lobbying campaign to make sure that this funding comes to Tougaloo and to all the sub awardees and to those partners that are part of this particular opportunity request is paramount, that the African American community throw its support. And I think that we can hang our hats on some of the letters of endorsement that we were able to get. I was absolutely amazed to see in such a short period of time that we were able to get support letters from the World Council of Mayors, the Honorable Johnny Ford's in historical townships. We were able to get letters support from the Honorable Benny Thompson. We were able to get letters from Reverend Willie Wilson here in Washington, D.C., one of our leading African-American ministers across this country. So there is definitely a groundswell of support, but we have to beat the drum. We have to get the word out about this historical application and this process, because what this will do, this will kickstart the seeds and the ideas that we can work together rather than we can't work together. And we all know we all have other additional issues that we have to address, but this is not the proper platform for that today, and we will do that another day because there are concerns every time people come together. But with that being said, I'd like to sort of open up the line, because we have a number of different individuals who are stakeholders and in part of this process. So I'd like to call Mr. Will Shirley, and if he would unmute his mic and come on and join us, who serves as our vice president of the National Association of Blacks in SOLA, as well as the one who introduced me to Mr. Dozier. Good afternoon, Mr. Shirley.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, and good afternoon to all your listening audience. I feel very good about this application, simply because of some of the things that you've already mentioned. But, you know, in addition, there's so much to add to this effort. When organizations like the awardees and the sub-awardees come together for a particular process to activate a particular process in our communities, especially training students for to participate and matriculate into the renewable energy space, which is, I don't have to mention the amount of dollars involved in that space, but it is absolutely, positively a requirement that we have to meet. We as black people have to get into this industry we have to not be only consumers of energy, but we have to be producers and distributors, especially in our own neighborhoods, in our own cities, our own counties. This is for our own businesses and nonprofits. This is a measure of expertise. The grant is a measure of expertise that can be pulled together over and over again. I think it's a real pure example of how an HBCU and folk in the training industry and purveyors otherwise in the industry can come together to offer pertinent training for career building in this industry. I do want to really congratulate Tougaloo College. You know, Tougaloo College is an outstanding organization, has been as such since its inception. And, you know, our organization, Sundial Solar Power Developers, have been working with Tougaloo for quite some time, trying to establish a training scenario for the college. So, of course, our company will be hiring those graduates in order to effectively provide trained staff for our business. Now, in terms of the value of all of this, I believe, Mr. President, Dr. Biswas, and Michael Dozier, I believe that this may be a jump off point, so to speak, where HBCUs based on Tougaloo's involvement can now see that the value of training in the renewable energy space is critical for our survival and as the black community joins the fight against climate change. It is very critical that our HBCUs take the lead on this. And lo and behold, Tougaloo College has taken the lead, and I am so overwhelmed with their participation in this that I know that all of the efforts of HBCUs in terms of training our people can now leapfrog in the industry of training our young people for careers in energy.
I want to sort of address this issue because I don't think that our listening audience are getting the gravity. I mean, you going on and on, and I hear all that. But let's make it plain, like Brother Malcolm said. Now, how many workforce development training cohorts have there been in Mississippi specifically targeted for our high school and college age African American youth in that state? Has there been any that you know of?
Mr. President, no, sir. No, sir. No, sir. There hasn't been any. And I would assume.
That's the point, Will, that people have to understand that these are our tax dollars. Let me drive this home. The Biden administration said that there was a Justice 40 initiative. I wrote in a narrative that this Justice 40 initiative says that 40% of everything that was supposed to be coming out of the American Rescue Plan, 40% on the business contracting and opportunities was supposed to go to communities of color. Now, when you begin to break that down and talk about communities of color, their Hispanic communities, their Asian communities, their various indigenous communities, they're all communities. I didn't see any specific carve-outs for the African-American community, but lo and behold, there were some carve-outs for Native American tribes. Well, that is good for them. I don't have a problem with them. But I have a problem when people perceive that it's a problem when I'm saying that there should be the same carve-outs for the African-American community. That is what I'm saying. If you're going to say that 40% of this should go to communities of color, because we have lottie-dottie and everybody, and let's keep this real plain. Because you say you were a minority under 8A contracting law, white women are considered as minorities. And when you begin to look at a lot of times that contracts that traditionally that would have gone to African Americans in predominant black cities, once they don't necessarily get them today because they're talking about it's a bid process. All I'm saying is if there's a Justice 40 initiative that somebody else other than folks from our peer groups need to be raising up the banner, raising up the flag about where is the Green Economic Development Plan for African Americans in the implementation of the Biden Infrastructure Plan. Now, the National Association of Blacks and Solar is the only group I know that have beat the drum around this. This collaboration with Power 52 of Baltimore, Maryland, which we invited today. They didn't, for whatever reason, I don't see Mrs. Brooks here. Global Apprenticeship, we invited them today. They are sub-awardees under this project. We have the National Association of Blacks and Solar, which will be handling the marketing and advertising under a MOU working under the auspices of Tougaloo. We have WDC Solar, which is one of our African-American, leading African-American solar installers. They have firms based here in Washington and Atlanta. They will be working under an MOU under Tougaloo. We have Solar Times USA. This is Janelle Manafort from Talbot, Georgia. They are interested in developing workforce satellite program there, as well as Mr. Richard Corley, Corley Enterprises, Chester, South Carolina, who we have targeted for them to have a workforce development training cohort there in South Carolina. So with that being said, we have a national format to train our regional format to train 750 young folks, and they won't all be African American. They'll be first come, first serve, but we will have an online presence with a portal which will have an employment application, and the young people can go there and they can sign up through that portal, and we have no idea what market demographics will those applicants will meet those numbers for those designated market demographics that we have with those states that we've laid out in our blog that we talked about at the inception of the program. But the fact of the matter is this is a breaking ground project that will serve as a national model. And I understand its importance. Now, I want Mr. Richard Corley to sort of unmute. He has been very, very quiet, but he has been a stalwart in supporting the National Association of Blacks and Solar, as well as my company, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative. And he's been working with us on this project. Mr. Corley, would you speak to some of the things that you've heard?
Yes. Hey, good afternoon to everyone. Good afternoon to my colleagues and team members. Good afternoon, Ron, to you, president of the National Association of Blacks and Solar. And congratulations also for bringing this process, bringing this team together. And brother, Mr. Dozier, also, congratulations to you for gathering all the information, putting it together, and submitting it to the Department of Commerce. the Economic Development Administration. Yeah, administration, which is under the Department of Commerce, and we understand that. And you know, we're just very grateful that we got to this point. And as you said, Ron, in the beginning of your show, the good, the bad, the ugly, all those things, getting it in such a quick notice is important to you, Dr. Biswas. Also, congratulations to you for listening to the National Association of Blacks in Solar and accepting it to move forward. I love HBCU, so I know that this is going to be not only a grand vision, but once the award is made, this will be a grand thing to do for the 750 students that we're going to train throughout, you know, the nation or throughout these regions, these six regions that we've identified. Now, I know that there are some things that we need to tie up, and we're looking forward to doing that over the next month or two. I know that there are some things that we need to roll out so far as marketing to make sure that we get as many students as we can. I agree with you, Juan. When you look at black employment and you look at where we are, we're at the lower end of the spectrum. And so this green economy is very important to us. It's very important for our young folks to get trained in these areas. And I think that the curriculum that we're putting forward is going to get these folks into some very good professional jobs in the green economy, the solar economy in these regions. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to what it is that we got to do to make sure that it's run effectively, because one of the things that we do not want to to have this program go out and be funded through the EDA and not have the things that we need to do to get the students there, to get them trained, to get them into jobs, because that's the whole thing is the good jobs challenge is to make sure that these folks get into good paying jobs. And we know that the solar industry, we know that it's a $1 trillion market when you look at the power energy market. So these would be good paying jobs. Everybody's using energy as we wake up every day from the sun, and it's monetized so that we have to pay for it for all the things that we do with our computers and everything else. So we need, and our cars are becoming more electric, so we need to be in this lane. So it's crucial, and it's crucial that, Ron, you had the vision to bring these folks together, Power 52, WDC Solar, and through your leadership and Will Shirley's leadership, you guys, Sundial, up in Mississippi, you were able to bring this thing through one of our beloved HBCUs, Tougaloo College, that has a national history of training black and other folks of color, just the whole, all Americans. You know, it's a treasure to all Americans. And as we celebrate black history, because black history is American history, from the start, I just applaud your vision and your leadership through you and Will Shirley and what you guys have done to get us to this point. But I'm also here as an advisor to this beautiful organization that you started to make sure that we don't fall, so to speak, on a sword. We make sure that this thing is going to be managed well and these folks are going to get trained so that the next level of funding or the next opportunity that we have for the federal dollars and tax dollars that we spend and we pay into the system we've done over many, many years, 300, 400, 500 years, our blood, sweat, and tears, is used to train our folks into an industry that's so very well needed. So I applaud you. I applaud Will Shirley, Dr. Biswas. I applaud you, Ms. Dozier, Michael Dozier, for putting this all together and your expertise and looking at these grants and making sure that everything is there. I feel amiss that B50, Power 52, and WDC Solar and others don't have a chance to chime in today, but we'll get there. So
Okay, well, with that being said, Brother Corley, I really appreciate those kind words and the fact that you're stressing the seriousness of this process. Now, for our listening audience, the call-in number is 646-668-2948. The call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because I want our listening audience to know that a lot of times, even though this is a podcast, we do get a number of calls from all over the world coming in through the line when we're live, because we will be posting this. It won't take about three seconds, and then we'll be this as soon as we go off the air, and then I'll publish this, and this will be all over the world. So we'll be out there. So, but with that being said, I want to get back to the interchange that we've been having now. Dr. Biswas, looking at this a new 16-hour curriculum that y'all have designed for Tougaloo. Now, I understand that y'all will be running a separate training program there at Tougaloo with that?
Yes, that's right. Andel Solar, we developed a program for a certificate program as well as an associate degree program in solar energy. So, yeah, we'll be training those two separately.
Okay, great. Now, Mr. Dozier, when we began to look at how, because you've laid out your credentials and the things that you've done, so without question, our listening audience is more than qualified to know that when you speak, everybody should listen, even though your initials not E.F. Hutton. But just saying to make it real. Now, there were a lot of issues concerning timelines as relates to getting certain things done. Now, could you explain to people normally how much time goes into a process like this?
Definitely, Mr. Ron. Typically, when you're doing a process like this and putting it together, you want at least anywhere from 6 to maybe 8 weeks of just constantly putting stuff together, and even before then. I teach a lot of grant writing workshops as well, too. And when I teach those workshops, I always tell potential clients or participants who are enrolled in those workshops is you want to put together a team, and you want a team together, because when you got a grant writing team together, it will save you a lot of time, but it helps you be more organized. This sort of fell in my lap because of Mr. Will Shirley, and we didn't have as much time as we normally would have. And I was hesitant, and the team knows this because we've laughed and talked about it since we've already submitted the application. But I was hesitant in trying to move forward on this because I didn't think we would have enough time. But I can honestly say the team was dedicated. They were committed. But typically you want as much time as possible, and I say you work from 2 months or more if you have that. Now, typically when you get federal grant announcement, sometimes they only give you about 2 to 3 months to let you know that it's going to be out, and so you have to start working then. I think, if I'm not mistaken, and the team can correct me if I'm wrong, I think we had less than about maybe 3.5 weeks to get it all together, but we were able to pull it together because it was a fascinating and a good team that had history on its own. Each individual team member or team group or association group, you know, had expertise, experience, and that made the process easier to manage as well as bring together, because you had experts who was already doing these things, maybe on a smaller scale, but bringing them together was just a matter of coordination and just making sure we had the time to coordinate responsibilities, roles, and all the things we were going to do. And so we managed to get all those things done. It was a little bit of a challenge because there was a lot of meetings, and just like Mr. Run doesn't like a lot of meetings, I don't like them either, but they were necessary to get things in order, I would say.
Well, Mr. Dozier, it's all right to have the meetings, but please give me an agenda and a timeline.
Amen.
Start. Amen. I know when I can leave so I can get something done. But even with that, the historical value of this award cannot be stated enough, because now that the phase of putting the proposal together, getting it in, getting the team together, finding the judiciary, all these are phases. The most important phase of this is now in front of us, which is the lobbying aspect of us reaching out to our congressmen, our senators, our local representatives, and anyone that may have some influence to make the proper calls to EDA and to whomever we need to make this happen. Let me make this very, very plain. I spend a tremendous amount of my time up on webinars listening to organizations that are not run by us as African Americans. They are advocacy and public policy organizations, the same as the National Association of Blacks and Solo. We are a nonprofit public policy organization. These groups have already gone into Congress. They already have a congressman and a senator that have signed on, for example, the 30 million campaign, which is a campaign to put 30 million solar PV systems on the rooftops of low and moderate income residents across America. Now, this is being run by a group of about 600 different, about 60 groups, and almost 600 different interest groups around the country. Very little input from the African-American community, but they're talking about low and moderate income. That's the point that I'm making, ladies and gentlemen. We're the only ones with low and moderate income folks in their communities. And if we don't step forward and stake out our stake for our tax dollars, for our communities, in these grant opportunities, if we don't apply, and nobody's going to be shedding any tears. You have to apply. But after you apply, then you must do what? You must lobby. You must advocate. And that is the phase that we are on right now. That is why I asked everyone to join this platform today, to understand that we have to get behind Tougaloo and get behind a campaign to let people know that our application is in EDA, and we urgently would appreciate a call or a letter to your senator, whomever out there is listening, to support this campaign. And it's called, once again, the campaign itself is called Solar Sustainability Across America Project. And this will be is the project that we have branded. That name came from Mrs. Deborah Lyles, who is the head of economic development for WDC Solar. We had a sort of like a little contest, and that slogan won. So we're all behind this because we know what this means, and it would be one of the largest, if not the largest award that would have ever been awarded to an African-American group, to target workforce development training in any energy industry, let alone solar industry, but we're talking about where the resources are available right now. And we have to demand we get our fair share. So with that being said, we've almost done an entire hour, and that's what I had basically, play a commercial. So I'm not going to hold you gentlemen any longer, but I want to give out your contact information and closing comments on what we've discussed today. Start with you, Dr. Biswas.
Thank you, Ms. Ron. So, again, I say we are privileged to be able to be part of this group, that we were able to apply for this grant. And Tougaloo, on part of Tougaloo, will do everything possible to make this successful, and so that we'll be able to apply for further grants. And whoever will be seeing our work will be willing to provide us more funding to help us in our endeavor to help train the African American community. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Biswas. Mr. Dozier, would you please give our audience some closing remarks, comments, please, via that?
Yes. Again, it's a pleasure being here. I'm excited about this, and the hard work begins now, because one thing about it, when you start applying for different funding sources, other opportunities will open themselves up to the organization, to the coalition, as it does different things. So I just encourage the organization to just keep moving forward, striving forward. And you did mention contact information. For those who want to reach out to me, you can reach out to me a couple of ways. I'm on LinkedIn. Just type in Michael Dozier, you see, nonprofit person. And then my number is 601-812-7906. Feel free to shoot me a text or give me a call. If I miss you, leave a message, and I promise I will call you back. And again, Mr. Run and Mr. Weir, I thank you all and the other people, Mr. Richard as well, too, for working with your team, because it was definitely good to work with a team or group of experts. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Dozier. Mr. Corley.
Yeah, I would like to say that this has been a beautiful experience. I think that going forward, it's so, so important that we make sure that we have everything that we need to make sure that, you know, once the opportunity comes and the grant is funded, that we do the right thing to get the best results. These things have been written up in a very great way, and it is the beginning, as you said, Rod. And I think that we have a lot of work to do, a lot of holes to fill, and we can fill them. And together through the National Association of Blacks and Solar, which you have put together, you and Will Shirley and your organizations have put together and started, initiated this. I think that the leadership is there. The vision is there. The vision is clear. And I just think that I had the opportunity to be a part of this up to this point, and I'm looking forward to great things in the future.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Corley. Mr. Will Shirley, my vice president of the National Association of Blacks and Solar, would you sort of close us out on this segment? Because I've got about 30 more minutes, but I'm going to be going to take a commercial break after I release you, gentlemen, and I'm going to sort of shift gears on the show today. So go right ahead, Mr. Corley.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Shirley, go ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay. Okay. One of the most important things you mentioned today is the lobbying effort that this group needs to pull together in order to push this across the finish line. Everybody knows that the effort of lobbyists, and that means me, you, and everybody concerned about this issue, can be a lobbyist by calling their representatives, their senators, inquiring about this project and how it's going to be able to set a standard of training in America that has not been in existence for us ever in terms of training our young people or ex-offenders or people that want to get into the energy industry, the renewable energy industry. The lobbying effort is paramount now. So, Mr. President, I would suggest that you, this recording be distributed far and wide, because I have to get this to my congressperson, and that's the Honorable Benny Thompson. I need to get this recording to him. Of course, he's in full support of this project. But there's other people that need to be aware of what we're doing and what a historic position we're in now to establish years of training for our people in this industry. That is key. So, of course, my company is Sundial Solar Power Developers at 601-985-8352 in Jackson, Mississippi, 601-985-8352. Please, if you're listening, please get this information out to your friends, allies, and if you're part of any kind of institution, minority institution or any kind of institution, please spread the word about this effort so that we can be successful in getting this project funded. Thank you, Mr. President, for the wonderful job that you have done. I say this, Mr. President, and I have to say it all the time. If it wasn't for Ron Bethea, this organization would not be in existence. And guess where we as a country would be at that point? You're very valuable to this nation, Mr. President. You're very valuable to black people in this nation, and you're very valuable to the prospects of communities, black churches, black towns, counties, organizations, businesses being fully involved in the process of renewable energy and the fight against climate change. Thank you so much, Mr. President.
Well, thank you for those kind words, Will, but, you know, this is bigger than me. And like I tell everybody all the time, you know, ain't no I in team. Now, I'm going to note that WDC Solar, Global Apprenticeships, and Power 52 chose not to join this conversation today. But they are the ones who stand to benefit most from this. And I have no problem with that. As I said, we will have a Zoom call on Tuesday, Monday afternoon. I think Dr. Biswas has agreed to that. But I want everybody on this Zoom call, not this Zoom call, but this, I'm on so many Zoom calls, I call my podcast a Zoom call. But on this podcast, to be aware of the fact that I will be setting up other talk show opportunities, and I won't expect all the time that Dr. Biswas may be able to make those calls. But some of you I will lean on to come on and we start to talk about this application so we can get as much mileage out of this push to get our application over at EDA sort of at the front of the pile. And I'll leave it there. So I want to thank everybody from taking time from their busy schedule. Join me here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. So until next time, we are here as a group to talk about the execution. We've got the funding. Now we're doing the execution of the plan. Because that's how it works. You got to do what you got to do to lobby and advocate. Then you got to get the funding so you can execute the plan. So I think we got a game plan here. All I think we got to do is stick with it, gentlemen. So with that being said, thank you for being guests here on Solar Now and the Future with this economic impact on Black America. All right, we're going to take a slight pause for the cause. I'm going to release my guest, and we'll be right back here as we sort of shift gears here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. We'll be right back shortly.
Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you singing.
I got trouble singing.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Soul and Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know that the slogan for this show, if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. Now, you know that the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC serves as an economic blueprint for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation, design, workforce development training, EV charge, EV manufacturing, and other solar and renewable energy companies. Okay? To address the facts of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young Black men and women locally and nationally. Also to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, many of you who join us on a regular basis, you know that this show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BFHBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And it's also brought to you by the National Association of Blacks and Solar. And you can get more information on that by logging on to blacksandsolar.org. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard the first portion of our show. I hope that it was educational, that it was informative to you. Now, we're going to sort of shift gears as we begin to sort of go to our blog under news and events, and you're going to find that there's some very interesting information being put out there. Number one, if you are a D.C. resident, discounts on your utility bills, UDP in D.C., and you'll be able to look at apply for discounts at utility bills, apply for natural gas, electric, water, and telephone. For more information, you can call 311 or visit doee.dc.gov/UDP. To apply for the phone lifeline service, you can call 1-800-234-9473. Once again, that's 1-800-234-9473. This is being put out by the Office of Department of Energy and Environment by way of the Washington Informer newspaper, and we grab these pieces when they hit, and we post them on our website to make our listening audience understand that we understand energy is and utilities are pocketbook issues. Plain and simple, you know. So with that being said, that's what we're doing here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Also, we want to look at ILSR, and that stands for the I always like to read their what they stand for with less than just using ILR, Institute for Local Self-Reliance. That's what this is. They are a group here in Washington, D.C., and they are driving, and they were recognized for diverting food waste into landfills. They have challenging corporate power utilities to try to corner the market. And experts share options for state funds and recycling infrastructure, building local power, apply for community challenge grant program. Communities can use federal recovery funds to support small business development. So all of this you will find on our news and events tab at positivechangepc.com, at positivechangepc.com. Now, we don't have a whole lot more. We're getting ready to say we had originally scheduled this show for 60 minutes, but we haven't received any calls in, so we're getting ready to end the episode. So we're going to be shutting this down now. So I want to let everybody know, I want to thank you for those who come every week to this platform, Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. I hope we provided another exciting edition. And until next week, we say go in peace as we close out another exciting edition of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact.
Someone singing, I can just sing it. Life is a song worth singing, why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand, use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Singing.